River Church, good morning, and it's great to be with you. I say with you, but of course I'm only with you digitally. I would love to be in the same room as you, meeting up with so many friends that go back for so long. But I'm really looking forward to open God's word to you. I confess it's a simple word. It's a word that I felt the Lord was asking me to bring to you. I hope you'll find it both an encouragement and perhaps also a challenge. It's a word that has come to mean a great deal to Anne and I over the last couple of weeks as we have been recovering from the COVID virus. I want to talk about our help, God as our help in times of trouble. And I want to suggest four keys. I'm sure there are more keys, but four keys as to how we face trouble well. We're going to look in the Psalms, Psalm 46 and Psalm 59. And in a moment, I'm going to read those Psalms and then we're going to explore four keys as to how we face trouble well. You know, as I prepared for this, I came to the realization that so much of Scripture is written to those who are in trouble or to those that are recording the history of those that have been in trouble. So it seems as if trouble is part of the norm of the people of God. Let's pray. Lord, as we open your word, we pray that it might speak to us by the power of your Spirit, that it might be a light to us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Psalm 46, verses 1 to 3. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. And then on to Psalm 59. And the context of this is that David is actually facing death. Saul the king has sent men specifically with the orders to kill David. And so the psalmist, towards the end of this psalm, verse 16, says these words, "But I will sing of your strength. In the morning I will sing of your love, for you are my fortress, my refuge in times of trouble. You are my strength. I sing praise to you. You, God, are my fortress, my God, in whom I can rely." Four keys. Key number one, we don't deny the trouble. We don't deny the trouble. Psalm 59, David's in trouble. These men have been sent specifically. The king has sent them with orders to kill David. Psalm 46, look at the imagery that is used here. Could it be worse? The earth gives way, mountains fall into the sea, waters roar and foam. We are facing at this time, we're facing trouble. We don't deny it. We're in a time of trouble. This is a storm that we are facing, both as a nation and as individuals. As a nation, the impact of this pandemic will go on for decades to come, with a mountain of government debt that will have eventually to be paid off. Our young people, our children, their education has been seriously interrupted by the impact of the guidelines and the lockdowns. Whole industries are under threat. Businesses that were viable until very recently no longer look viable. And of course we know, don't we, that the poor, well, they're getting poorer. And it seems as if the rich are getting richer, and that's so often the case, isn't it? And of course, individually, the impact of the storm, it varies from different ones to us. There's a metaphor that I found helpful. We're all in the same storm, but we're in different boats in the storm. But there's not one of us that hasn't been impacted over the last months by this pandemic. Every one of us has, to some degree or other, faced trouble. And so the question is, how do we respond to this trouble well? We don't deny it. For Anne and myself, well, we grieve over the fact that we had planned a 5-month trip. We were going to track the journey of the Apostle Paul. It was a bit of a pilgrimage. We'd start in Turkey. We were going to Cyprus. We were going through Greece and then on to Italy. And of course, by March, it became obvious that that wasn't going to be possible. We grieve over lost time with our family, with our children, with our grandchildren, with our friends, with our relatives. We grieve over church life that hasn't been as it previously has been. We grieve over ministry that has been lost. We don't deny it. We look it in the face. It's rubbish. It's not what we hoped for. And yet, if I could just carefully share this, I found it helpful to reflect on others that face trouble. I reflect on the persecuted church around the world where week in and week out, year in and year out, they face trouble. They face imprisonment. For some, they face death. They face inviability of their work. They face being social outcasts. I reflect on the experience of the early church. We know, of course, of Paul and his shipwrecks and his imprisonments and his beatings. But yet the early church, not just the ordinary members of the early church, not just the apostles, they face trouble. Those in Rome, as the Roman Empire turned against Christians, those Christians in Rome were fed to lions. They were crucified. They were set alight on stakes. And I reflect on, perhaps around the world, people who year in and year out regularly face death, health through health hazards, whether it's TB, whether it's malaria, millions dying every year in countries that have not got the health service to be able to care for them well. But we don't deny it. We are in a storm. We face the storm. And we must allow ourselves to grieve for what's been lost in the midst of the troubles. Key number two, we worship in the midst of our troubles. Psalm 59. This psalmist puts it like this: I will sing of your strength. In the morning I will sing of your love, for you are my fortress, my refuge in times of trouble. We know the king sent people to kill David off, but it seems as if David has learned a discipline, and the discipline is the discipline of worship in the good times, but also in the bad times. Worship puts the world in its rightful place. We know, don't we, that as we worship, we see things differently. As we worship, we are strengthened in our faith. So often for myself, it seems as if God takes the opportunity in the context of worship to speak to me. And of course, as we worship, we are transformed into the image of the one that we worship. Now you say to me, but Steve, I don't feel like worshipping. And I want to say respectfully to you, so what? Worship anyway. We're the worshipping people. We have a Father in heaven who loves us, and he deserves every ounce of our worship, day in and day out, regardless of how we feel. I have to confess, the last months, one of the things I've really missed is corporate worship. And we've had to be creative, haven't we? I thank God for YouTube and being able to connect into worship in different settings, different cultures. I thank God for Alexa. Anne and I have come to the conviction that Alexa is actually a Christian. And Lectio 365 from the 24/7 movement, a 10-minute devotion for every day, just an opportunity through reading of scripture and prayer to connect with God and to worship God. So we don't deny it. In the midst of trouble, we worship. Thirdly, we will not fear. Wow. Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, I will not fear. Of course, this comes home, doesn't it? When you've been diagnosed with COVID and Anne's not getting better and she's not eating and she needs to eat in order to strengthen herself. This comes home in the middle of the night when whatever's going on, that your mind is working overtime. And it's so easy, as your mind works overtime, that you get into a negative downward spiral of what could be's. I've learned for myself, there's a discipline for myself at times like this, a little liturgy that I pray out. And it goes like this: I put my trust in you, O Lord. I put my trust in you. In you, O Lord, I put my trust. I put my trust in you. You say, do you notice? Did you notice the therefore word in Psalm 46? The therefore is really important. We don't fear. Fear is based upon our confidence in the God who is with us. My go-to verse over the last few months has been in Philippians. Paul is writing probably from Ephesus. He's in prison. He's fearful of it for his life. He's writing to the church in Philippi, and similarly the church is in trouble. They're under threat. And in chapter 4, verse 4 onwards, he says these words: rejoice in the Lord always. Oh, this is the worship bit. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Be anxious about nothing, but in all things, in prayer and supplication, make your requests to God. And the peace of God. We need the peace of God. The peace of God that passes all understanding will fill your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Let's just take an honest moment, shall we? Who over the last 6 months have found themselves facing anxiety? It's easy to get anxious. My hand's up. It's easy to get anxious, isn't it? We are facing trouble. We're bombarded by news. We're bombarded by analysis on news and endless statistics. If we don't control the input that comes in our direction, anxiety will grow. You know, anxiety comes as we look at the future and we don't like what we see and we can't control what's coming our way. And of course, we in the West, we love to be in control. And it's so easy, isn't it, when anxiety comes, for it to become overwhelming. And as it becomes overwhelming, fear takes hold. Just a few practical suggestions that I found helpful over the last 6 months. You might have your own. I found it really helpful to take care who I listen to and how much I listen. This is not a head in the sand type approach, but it's avoiding news overload. I found it important to keep active, whatever that means. Fresh air has been wonderful for me. I think I've done more exercise over the next 6 months than I've done for decades. I found it important to take the opportunities to spend time with the Lord, to read books that I've always meant to read. I've taken the opportunity to develop new skills. I've become the baker in the house. My garden has never looked so good. I took on a building project, building a water feature. And I want to say it's important that we don't get isolated. The very language of the pandemic has been language of social distancing, lockdown, self-isolation. We need to find creative ways of connecting. We've done Zoom meals, Zoom drinks. Some have done Zoom games nights. People have turned up at our door and they've chatted, maintaining 2 meter distancing. We've taken walks. We can still take walks together. We were not designed for isolation. God is our refuge and strength, but you know what? God uses people. We have been so thankful for the people of God over the last couple of weeks as we've been recovering from this virus. God's people have been amazing. And let's remind ourselves in all this, we are the people of hope. You know, God is not in heaven today, biting his nails, worried about the outcome of the pandemic. No, his kingdom is coming. His will be done. So, we don't deny it. We worship. We will not fear. Final key, and if you take away nothing else from this, I hope you'll take this away from you, with you. We put our trust in the one who is ever present. Who is our ever present help in times of trouble. In this time of trouble, God has committed himself to be our help. Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Not just any help, not just an occasional help, an ever-present help. You know, we want to be in control, don't we? Western society in the 20th and 21st centuries has said to us, we can be in control. But our faith requires us to give over control and to invest our trust. Trust is the pathway which allows us to discover God. We discover him as our refuge, as our safe place. Under his wings, as the psalmist says. Trust is the way that we discover him as our strength. When it's as if we've lost everything, every sinew of strength within us, but we discover there is a strength which comes from the Lord, and trust is the pathway for us to discover that strength. Trust is the pathway when we discover God as our help, when we need a saviour to come to us. The saviour comes and is our help. Not just a spiritual help, but in every context of our lives, our help. You know, trust doesn't just happen. It's a conscious step of obedience, of capitulating our will. His will in our lives. It's trust in the middle of the night when our brain's working overtime. It's trust as the day closes in on us. It's trust as we open our emails. It's trust as we face the risk of redundancy. It's trust when we're concerned about our education or the education of our children or our grandchildren. John chapter 14, verse 15. Jesus is with his disciples. He knows he's about to leave them. He's about to go to the cross. He knows what's coming his way, and he knows what's coming their way. And he says these words to them. Chapter 14, verse 15. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. Of course, he's speaking about the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Counselor, the one who stands alongside, the Advocate, the gift of the Father, who is with us. so that we're not on our own. He is ever present. We can trust him. Let me just ask a question of us at this moment. Are there areas in our lives where God is asking us to find a new place of trust in him? Whether it's about our health, our own health, our family's health, whether it's about our finances, our education, our career, our job, our business, our mental health, our relational health. Let me ask as well, are there areas in my life where he's asking us to turn away from fear and firmly put our trust in him? I'm going to pray now. And as we pray, I'm going to ask you just to allow God to come to you. And maybe for there to be a response that you can make where you say, God, I will not fear, I choose to trust you. I put my trust in you. Wouldn't it be wonderful as we reflect back in years to come on this pandemic, if we're able to tell the story to our children, to our grandchildren, to our friends around us. We tell the story of God, the trustworthy one. Our refuge and our strength, our ever-present help in times of trouble. Let's pray together. Holy Spirit, would you come to us now? Would you meet with us? We very consciously lay down our fears and we choose to put our trust in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.